Morning. How is everyone this morning? Yeah? Double thumbs up? Everybody's doing well? Good. This morning we're going to actually conclude a series that we started, well, I guess it'd be 5 weeks ago. This is the fifth in the series. A series of messages that we entitled, Where Do I Fit In? And as you know, if you've been around here, we've been looking together for the last little while at the whole idea of finding that place in ministry that God has designed us for so that we can fulfill the purpose that he has for us. In fact, we've talked about those ideas pretty substantially for a while. I've become convinced that you can actually summarize the Christian life down into two pretty basic concepts. The first of those is that you got to grow in Christ, and secondly, that you have to finish the work that he's given you to do. And if you'll take those two things and put them together, I think you have the essence of what this is all about. And that is that once you become a follower of Jesus, you have to grow in Christ so that you can finish the work that he has given you to do. There is a direct connection between how we grow in Christ, his preparation in our life, and our ability to do the work that God has given us and asked us to do. In that simple concept, there are the big ideas that we talk about in church life around here. Inside the walls, outside the walls. Discipleship that leads ultimately to mission. Those kinds of ideas have emerged from this conversation. And over these 5 weeks, we've really unpacked three big ideas. The first of those big ideas was simply this, that God's best for us, for each one of us, is to be a part of his family and to be a part of his mission. That's the very best life. Everything that we've talked about has been built on the idea that the very best life that you can live is the life that God has designed you for, that he is the master designer, he is the creator of all things, and he made us exactly how he wants us so that we could do exactly what he's purposed for us. Do you believe that? I mean, down in the core of your soul, do you believe that? That the very best life that you can live is a life that is part of his family and ultimately part of his mission. Not either or, but both of those two ideas coming together. Listen to me carefully. If you don't really believe that, if you don't believe it down where everything counts, then I can just tell you right now, you're stuck. You're stuck trying hard to motivate yourself to do something when you really believe that there's something better somewhere else for you. If you don't believe that the life that God has prepared for you and prepared you for is the very best life that you can live, then all the while you're trying to motivate yourself to serve him, all the while you're trying to motivate yourself to do what he's asked you to do, you're sitting over here thinking, but man, I wish I could get over here to this because this is where it's at. And if you don't come to the conclusion that this is where it's at, that what God has made you for and the life that you are able to live in him as part of his family and part of his mission, if that's not the very best life that you can live, then my only question to you is, why don't you invest it all over here? I mean, if that's really where you think it's at, it's only intelligent, isn't it? To invest your life where you believe the very best life is for you. And if it's in Christ and his purposes. See, I don't think ultimately we'll passionately pursue God's desire for our life until we come to understand that God has a purpose for our life, that he has designed us specifically to fulfill that purpose, that he has shaped us through the experiences of life so that we can more fully live out that purpose. And the only way that you'll ever truly be satisfied is when you're living the life that he has made you for. I think that's why Paul made the statement in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He says, but my life is worth nothing to me. unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of Christ. He said, listen, there's only one thing worth investing my life in. There's only one thing that makes the rest of my life worthwhile. It's worthless unless I invest it finishing the work that was assigned to me by the Lord. That's the very best life that you can live. There's a second big idea that's emerged out of this. And it simply says this: my ministry will be most effective and most fulfilling when I discover and use my gifts and abilities in the area of my passion in a way that best expresses my unique personality and life experiences. That's a loaded sentence. That's packed. Let me see if I can unpack it real easily for you. It's a wonderful thing to serve a sovereign God, isn't it? To serve a God who not only is in the position to, but has the ability to purpose your life before the foundations of the world, to have a purpose for you, and then to be able to orchestrate life so that he brings you into the right place at the right time to be able to fulfill that purpose. Now, I can have a purpose for your life, but I can't make it come true. I can't make it so. He can. He not only can, before time, look out and say, listen, this is what I want that person to do, but then he can construct you in such a way. He can make sure that all of life works in such a way to bring you into relationship with the ideas, the people, the concepts that you need to be able to live that out. See, he's shaped us. Even before we said yes to Christ, he's actually started working in your life then to bring you into relationship with ideas and people that would shape you to fulfill your purpose. You know, I've always been kind of amazed as I've been able to look back over life and to see how God has used so many different things. You know, one of the nice things about being old, if there is anything nice about being old, and there is, one of the nice things about being old is being able to look back over your life and see all those things that God's done in you and for you, that you had no idea what he was doing. I mean, you looked at him and experiences were coming your way and problems were developing around you, and then this person would enter your life and make some suggestion to you, and you'd go somewhere else and you'd hear somebody teach, and another idea would fit into your mind, and you look at all that and you say, that's all kind of random, until you get to my age. And then you can sit and you can look back and you can see, oh man, if that person hadn't entered my life at that time, I don't know if I would have ever thought that way. I don't know if I would have ever been exposed to that idea or to that concept. And you can begin to see how he's shaped your life over literally a lifetime. And you sit back and just say, Lord, you know, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve that you would work in my life in such a way that I can actually see your hand at work long before I ever said yes to you. You know, if you think about it, I don't want to turn this into anything deeply theological this morning. Perish the thought. But if you look back and you think about it, isn't that how you came to faith in the first place? Is that God worked in your life before you ever said yes to him to bring you into contact with Christians, with the gospel? Then doesn't it make sense that he was working something else out at the same time? That he was actually working in you what was going to happen years down the road? And we had no idea that he was shaping us that way. Listen, he not only shaped you, but he designed you. He gave you certain spiritual gifts. He gave you certain natural abilities. He gave you that personality that you have and have distorted over the years. That he had to redeem. It's true. I mean, every one of us in our fallenness have distorted that true personality that he's given us. And one of the beauties of salvation is that he begins that restoration work and he allows us to rebuild that personality into the character of Christ so that we could maximize our impact and our service to the world. Listen to me carefully, folks. I've said this a thousand times, but what's 1,001? God hasn't designed you and made you the way you are just so you could stay out of hell. He's made you and designed you for a purpose. And that's to be able to have an impact on the world, to make a difference for the kingdom of God. You know, the combinations that he has brought together in you, they're endless. Every one of us is unique in some strange way. We're all like each other and we're all unlike each other. And that's the beauty of what Christ has done for you. Is he's made it possible for you to serve this wonderful, wonderful role that he has for you. Well, there's a third big idea. And that is that the best part of serving is doing it together. You know, sometimes we think it's best if we operate alone. Can I tell you that's not true? God designed us to work as a body, didn't he? I mean, that's what he refers to us as. And we know, we've said this before, we know something for certain, that a body works best when what? When every member listens to the head and every part works in harmony with every other part. That means we have to function as a body. It's by far better that we operate together, that we do this thing together. That's why the scripture tells us we have to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. See, when we came into this relationship with Jesus Christ, he, by his Spirit, placed us, baptized us literally into his body, it says. And we become a part of his body and he gifts us as an individual member of that. And then he looks at us, he says, now listen, by virtue of the Spirit's presence in your life, you are united with Christ and with each other. Now, preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Live your life in such a way that you preserve that unity. Why? So you can be happier and avoid conflict? No. So that you can, together with other people, maximize the impact of the good news of Jesus Christ on the world. Because listen, how you conduct yourself in the world is the message the world hears. And so how we act as the body of Christ. Now, there's one more big idea that I want to unpack very briefly this morning. And it's this very simple statement. It's time to take the next step. You know, many of us have thought about these ideas for far longer than 5 weeks. Many of us have known deep down in our heart that God made us for something. And somehow every time the subject comes up, we find a way to kind of avoid dealing with it. You know, we look in a different direction emotionally or spiritually for a while. And it's like, now's not the time. But can I tell you something? Now is the time. Now's the time to take that next step. You say, why is now the time? Because God has presented it to us. He's put that step in front of each and every one of us. See, fulfilling your purpose is not a destination at which you arrive. Fulfilling your purpose in God is a journey that you engage until he takes you home. You know, it'd actually be far easier if you could say, I just have to find that one spot, that one job, and when I find it, I'm going to do it the rest of my life. That'd make it easier, wouldn't it? But can I tell you something? To some degree, you're shooting at a moving target. Now, why is it a moving target? Because you're on a journey. You don't get the luxury of just saying, you know, this is my spot. I found it and I'm not moving. I want every one of you to have that sensation. I really do. I want you to find that place and say, man, there is nothing better than this because I know something. It isn't going to be long before God's going to open your eyes and open your mind, and you're going to see another step. And when you see that next step, you'll know something. That's where you belong. And back here was fine, but God has something else. I won't even say something more. It may not be more. It's just the next step. And this is all about Him leading us so that over our lifetime, we fill the role that He wants us to play and we do what He asks us to do. And that's the most fulfilling, satisfying way that you can live. And the question is, when you come to that understanding, why wouldn't you take that step now? Why would you put it off till sometime in the future? I mean, when you find the best thing, are you really going to say, well, not today. I'll wait a while. In my home, there are a handful of movies that have been played more times than I care to admit. And both my girls and my wife loved the movie when I think it was When Harry Met Sally. If you remember that movie. And it's the story of a guy who meets this gal and they have this kind of odd, dysfunctional relationship. But in the midst of it all, they very quietly behind the scenes are falling in love with each other. And near the end of the movie, as you can well imagine, it all comes together very nicely in very predictable fashion. And the movie kind of comes to an end with this guy, Harry, running for about 2 miles to get to a New Year's Eve party so he can declare his intentions to Sally. And he arrives at the party and they're having this rather dysfunctional conversation. And he makes this comment to her. He says, I came here tonight because when you realize that you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible. Doesn't that make sense? When you find that the very best life that you can live is actually available to you, don't you want to start today? Don't you want to take the next step? Why would we ever consider waiting when the very best that we could experience is right in front of us? It's just the next step in walking with Christ. And see, when He leads us, He's not going to lead you to a place that He doesn't want you to be. And when we walk with Him, He's not only going to help us grow internally, but He's going to help us grow for the purpose of expressing His love externally. You know, there's this wonderful passage of Scripture found in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians is this marvelous book. I told the first service, the best way I know how to describe Ephesians is it's all of the glory of Romans compressed. Romans is a marvelous book. I mean, it's theology extraordinaire. It's the gospel exploded, expanded. And in Ephesians, Paul takes all that and he compresses it down. into about three chapters. And then he deals with how do you live it out. But in these first three chapters, he talks about such basic ideas as you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That in Christ Jesus, you have the best that God has to give. And that he's worked out in his Son your salvation, placed his Holy Spirit in you so that you can have a guarantee that the inheritance that he's promised you is going to become a reality. He talks about such sweeping ideas as you were once separated from him. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but you've been made alive together in Jesus Christ. Then he talks about such ideas that he's not only reconciled us individually to Christ, but he's taken two groups of people, those who were his people and those who weren't his people, and he's brought them together in Jesus Christ so that there's only one way to him, and that's through Christ. And then he talks about the idea that we have a work to do. And that the glory of the church is that we get to do that work in Christ. And then in verse 14 of chapter 3, Paul begins to pray a prayer. Honestly, short of the prayers of Jesus, this is the best prayer in the Scriptures. I mean, I understand, you know, the Lord's Prayer and the great high priestly prayer, they're on another level. But then there's this prayer. When I think of all this, Paul says, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. As you trust in him, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now watch this. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You want to do infinitely more? You want to be able to come to the end of your life and say, you know, I was able to do things I didn't even deserve to be able to do. My life has made a difference. There's no way it should add up to that. Somehow there's some multiplication going on in here that I can't explain. That's right. Because God is able to do infinitely beyond anything you could ever think or imagine. I mean, you can sit back and I think sometimes, you know, we sit back and we dream these grandiose dreams and we think, boy, I got to come back to reality. You haven't even begun to scratch the surface of what God wants to do with you. He's able to impact more lives through your life than you would ever imagine. And you know what? He desires to do it. The only question left is, are you ready to start now? Not put it off till sometime in the future. You know, we started this series and we ask you to consider an overall commitment. And that commitment very simply says this: I commit the rest of my life to be a messenger of God's good news to other people and to use my time, talent, and treasure for his kingdom. Now watch this next line. Regardless of where it leads and what it costs. That's heady stuff. To go to the God of the universe, who says, I'm willing to do infinitely more than you could ever think or imagine, and say to him, listen, you lead, I'll go. With total disregard to where that might be or what it might cost. Do you know why Abraham was such a great illustration of faith? Because Abraham left for a place with no knowledge of the destination. He just knew who he was walking with. You ready to walk? We started out by asking you to consider three goals. Goal number one was that I will discover my unique design for ministry and mission. I hope and pray you understand more about yourself today than you did when we started 5 weeks ago. The second goal is that I will commit to develop and use my God-given personality, gifts, passions, skills, and experiences in serving God and others, both in and outside the walls of the church. In other words, it's not just that we're going to figure out what our gifts and abilities and all that stuff is, but we're actually committing to develop and to use them. But watch this third one, that I will select the opportunities that best express what God made me to be and begin serving in the ministry and the mission of your church. That's our goal. Is not just to help you understand more about yourself, not even to get you to say I will, but to get you to do it. To actually take the step. Because we understand something. You take that next step and you're on the journey with him. And there is no better place to be than on the journey with Christ. So here's what I want to do. I want to help you with that this morning. Some of you may be sitting back and saying, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot. And I think I know where I'm headed. Okay, we want to make that as easy as possible for you. So here's what we're going to do. For about the next 20 to 25 minutes, I'm going to ask our ministry team, our mission team leaders and our ministry team leaders to take their place at these tables around the room. And in fact, right over here is the international mission table. Back there is the national mission table. Back here is cross-cultural. And over here is local. On this side, right over here, are inside the walls ministries, and youth and children are over there. And right back here in this corner, am I pointing in the right places? Yes. Are central support, worship, and adult ministries. The ministry leaders are going to be at these tables along with some of their team leaders. And you have an opportunity to go talk to the people that you might want to learn from, to find out what's available. Maybe you already know what's available and you know what you want to do. Then go to the table that's closest to that. If you say, well, you know, I don't know exactly what I want to do, but I have a heart for Tanzania. Well, go right over there to the international table and just tell them that. And say, you know, this is where my heart is. And you can become a part of that team and move forward with figuring out exactly what it is that God wants you to do. You know, some of you made a commitment all the way back at our Global Impact Celebration and said, I want to be a part of a mission team. Today's your opportunity to make that happen. Go to those four mission team tables, and if you want to be a part of one of those teams, tell them that. They'll get you connected. Our sole goal here for the next 20 to 25 minutes is to make it easy for you to take the next step. Now, you may be here this morning and you're brand new, or you're relatively new to this church, and you say, well, I don't even know if I want to go to church here. That guy who preaches is kind of weird, I may choose to find someone who isn't quite as weird as he is. Listen, if you're new here, I can't think of a better way to find out what this church is about. than to go to some of the mission teams and talk to the people who do the ministry and find out what it's about so that you can decide whether or not you want to be a part of this. Some of you may already be involved outside of our church, have a major ministry commitment. Would you do me a favor if that's the case? Go to the appropriate team leader and let them know that. We'd like to support you. We'd still like to be on your team. We don't believe that everything good has to happen right here. There's lots of good stuff that's going on in the kingdom of God. And we would be willing to help support you to some degree. Just let us know that you're involved. We'll do what we can to help you. Now, some of you are going to consider heading for the door. Don't do it. First of all, I'm going to put a very large person standing at the door. But secondly, do hear me on this. One of the words that is used in Scripture, one of the Greek words that's used in Scripture that's translated for us worship a lot, is the Greek word latruo. Now, for you Greek scholars, you know this already. That word that's translated many times worship literally means to serve. Do you understand that your service is your worship? So what we're about to do for the next 20 to 25 minutes isn't extraneous. That is, in fact, what our worship is. What we're going to do for the next 20 to 25 minutes is worship. Don't waste it, okay? Use it well. Can I pray for you? Father, thank you. Thank you this morning for that phenomenal dream that you have placed in our hearts and our minds, that it's possible that when we walk with you, we can do far more than we have ever imagined. That when we are filled by and empowered by your Spirit, incredible things can happen in us, through us, and because of us. Father, we open our lives to that. We open our lives and our hearts to you. And we say, Lord, please, use us to the maximum extent that it's possible. We accept your sovereign will in all things and believe that you know best, and where you lead me is the best life that I can live. Help me get there. We ask it all through Jesus Christ. Amen.